We're back, baby.
What's that?
It's Max.
Oh.
We're back, baby. Oh, what's it from? Honestly, no idea. Oh. Yeah.
Episode 40.
We needed, the slow build-up, the drum roll before approaching this. That's why we took a 3-month break.
Yeah. I know you guys have been waiting. You guys have been, like, probably just fiending for your fix of Max and Lou.
We've been getting the emails. We've been getting the DMs on Insta.
They don't stop coming in. Everyone's people are genuinely worried about us because they haven't heard from us. We don't use social media.
No.
And Max and I personally don't use social media. So, like, the Max and Lou entity barely uses social media either. So
we're pretty much, like, off the grid except this, like, podcast.
Yeah, we're like...
I twitched for a bit, but that was a time.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, would you consider the web to be a grid? Is a web and a grid the same thing, or is a grid vertical parallel? You know, X and Y axis, and because the spider web is round or circular.
I think the grid is about being, like, found, at least brought up, it's being, like, found by police and stuff that's being, yo, I'm off the grid, you know?
I feel like the grid has to do with the electric.
Yeah.
The electricity.
Internet
though.
Phone lines. I mean, like...
Because we're most...
Shredding your credit cards?
I feel like we're most definitely on the grid, even though we're off the grid, but we're more, like, off the web.
Yeah, alright, how about this? More
we're
than
on the grid,
common person.
Yeah.
Because, like, we have social medias, we just don't use them.
I was big into it when I was younger.
I
dropped off so hard.
I think you got into Insta pretty early on, too, like, before it was big. I still barely understand what it's for.
Realistically, if you like to very... I don't know how to word this in a good way... But if you like to very simply edit your photos, then that's realistically what it was for, was like a photo album.
Filters.
And that's where it started, was with filters, before they created a better UI where you could actually, you know, adjust, I don't even know what you would call
saturation
it.
Saturation and
just
hues.
A picture.
Yeah.
Contrast, crop, you know, I guess crop was always there.
Kind of our picture has the brightness, I forgot what it's called, but like the depth, so
it's blurry in the back.
Yeah, like the trees are blurred, and I like that. It's a little more visually like stimulating.
That's amazing. Every time I take pictures in video games, that's the one thing that I forget about. But when I remember it, I'm like, man, this does so much for the picture.
Ghost of Tsushima is one I'd mess with depth a lot. Because if you're like up on a big mountain, there's like you, then something maybe 30 feet away. And then there's things 100 feet away, things 1,000 feet away. And you're like, what do you want to be in focus more or less? It's makes things gorgeous.
Fuck, you make me want to pull up my pictures. I've taken so many pictures in that game. So many, dude. I want to go look now. I just have to... I don't want this making noise while I'm doing it.
I'm pretty sure the game that I've taken the most pictures in was Spider-Man. Hands down. I probably... through one playthrough, I took over 100 pictures.
Well, we're back. It's Max and Lou. I want to fucking give you a little gift.
Oh, shit.
I've got other ones in my car. And I don't want...
I see a manila folder.
It's just a yellow folder I have here with a bunch
of... Oh, snap.
I don't want to give too many details out right now, but what I have here are a bunch of pictures of film that...
Dips?
Yeah, you could use these to hydro dip with. I'm not telling you people where I got them from, even though some people listening might know, but... I've got a couple in my car. I don't know if I have them in here also. See, here's one cool one. This one might even be in my car. I want to give you these Spider-Man films. You were nice enough to give me a little Christmas gift. And I wanted to... I was holding on to the one for, like, I guess an exchange. But then I'm like, well, his birthday was the other day. So, like, you know, you should have these. I've been collecting these because these are a rarity. they will be extremely rare. And in 10 years from now, when this doesn't exist anymore,
sure,
no one is ever going to have this, let alone the design, because the design is custom made by digital designers. These aren't like Marvel products. So in 10, 20, 30 years from now, though, if you find somebody who's really into Marvel stuff, specifically Spider-Man, I guess, they're going to want these. They're going to want these to collect them. Even if it's not of like high value to them, the fact that it's...
they're originals.
It's limited. It's rare. Exactly. And when it gets to a point where, like, these ones are for a PlayStation 4, when they stop, when people stop customizing PlayStation 4s, these will no longer be even, like, a thought. So, I'm going to flip through here real quick and grab a couple to give you. Dude, I have so many at my job also that, like, I set them aside and leave them for a long time so that way, if I need them when I'm working, I've got extras. But it gets to a point where I get so many that we can't keep them there because they just get thrown aside and then they turn into shit. Like, you can see the edges are curling up on them, and it's because I'm not storing them in a right in the right area.
Okay.
So they're drying out on the edges.
Okay.
You could touch them a little bit, but, like, that's the thing. If you leave them out and they're not preserved the right way,
sure,
give it a month and they'll turn to shit. I just had to move them into a different spot where I was compressing them with something on top of the folder so that way they would stay flatter. But it's also the amount of them in here, too. See, you want some Dragon Ball Z ones?
Damn. So like, oh, that'd be PS5, right?
Dragon.
Oh, no. Rock, no, that could Dragon. Be.
No, yeah, these are PlayStation 5 ones. This would go onto the touchpad. Goku's face goes on touchpad. And then Shenron's the back. Take some Goku.
Like it's fine.
And if you
like,
ever
you
want
can hydro dip anything.
I know. And that's what like if you ever wanted something dipped onto something, let me know. I mean, these are the only films that we have to work with, but
like I'm almost thinking like even,
that's
like,
the thing.
Like,
so like
my laptop
the case.
This, yeah, the black part.
Easy as fuck. Oh yes.
Ooh.
These are...
this must not be so fun for you guys, but it's just really, really cool designs and, like, the... I don't know, the film. It's, like, clearly, like, a material that has to be made this way that it, like, melts or something.
The way it works is that it's on, like, paper that dissolves, and I don't know how to word it, like, the actual name for the paper, but the paper dissolves, and that's why... So now you guys are gonna get a little hydro dip lesson here. The paper dissolves, and that's why the image is inverted, because what happens is you have this special dissolving paper that gets the ink printed onto it, and then I don't believe it's special ink, but the printer is very special. So when it prints it onto here, what you do is drop it in the water, and we have like a little bracket to hold it, because when you...
Hold on, is it just water?
Yeah. When you spray the film with activator... Okay, so let me rewind. When you put the film in the water reacts to the paper. And the paper starts to dissipate. So then, after about 40 seconds, you'll notice... maybe later we could fill up the tub and I'll show you real quick how it looks. But you drop it in the water and you hit a timer and you notice the paper will like crinkles up and then starts to flatten out because it's absorbing the moisture from the water, as the paper on the bottom is just dissipating into the tank. And then what you do is after the timer goes, you spray it with the activator that then makes it all turn into a liquid. Because if you were to just dip this without activator, it might contour and wrap. That's the thing.
It might
wrap.
Not stick to it or something, right?
No, it won't go on the right way.
Okay.
And it probably would fall off very easily. So that's why the activator kind of dissolves the ink into just liquid. So that's why you got to keep this in a little bracket. So like when you spray it, it doesn't just turn to mush.
Okay.
So then when you do that, you dip what you're dipping through the ink, and then the paper doesn't completely dissolve. I probably shouldn't touch that much. But the paper doesn't completely dissolve. So after when you are done dipping what you're dipping, you have to rinse it off with water. And you'll notice that there's like almost like a hazy, it looks like the clear coat's on it, but it's not because you wash it off. It's just the leftover residue from the paper. It's like this weird soapy substance. It's so strange, but it is really cool. And the films do look really cool. I love seeing the films, but that's the front of the Miles Morales one.
Oh, see, I keep forgetting that the that's PS5s front, have back. A front and a back.
Yeah, which is a pain in the ass sometimes to get. This is a back for a PlayStation 5, which is funny because his face gets so fucking big when I put it on the controller. I'll send you some pictures tomorrow. You want this? We should find.
I can just put it right in the laptop until
that'll work
until I get home.
Yeah, and then put them in something where you can flatten them. You know, put them in like a folder where you could just put shit on top of them.
Okay.
All right. Now that that's done, what do you got to talk about, Max?
Oh man, I mean, like, we got a lot that has happened. I think the one that's most relevant is the movie we have brought up many a times.
It's coming out next week.
It comes out tomorrow.
Yes, I was gonna say that
for you guys.
I want to see it next week.
Yeah, for you guys, the movie will have been out for what, 3 days, I think, maybe 4 days.
You don't want to throw this up tomorrow, or is that not possible?
I'm gonna do it on Tuesday.
Okay, I wasn't sure because I'm gonna post up on the internet about it.
Yeah. Wait, what? Oh, on.
Yeah, I'm gonna post on my IG.
All right.
Just say, you know, we're back on our bullshit.
Fuck yeah. But yeah, so by the time you're listening to this, the movie Chaos Walking will have officially came out. And you
starring?
Know, starring Tom Holland as Boy. And Daisy Ridley? Yeah, Daisy Ridley as Girl.
Tom Holland, a.k.a. new Spider-Man actor. And Daisy Ridley, a.k.a.
Rey from Force Awakens and forward.
Skywalker, I guess? That's now her last name,
yes.
Right?
I mean, it's not her, I guess, her, like, birth name, but yeah, name. She is technically a Skywalker, isn't she?
I think that's what the people were saying was, like, the conclusion of the last... Did you see it?
I did.
I didn't.
I fell asleep.
I didn't watch any of it yet, but apparently, I guess, like, Luke adopts her, or Luke and Leia adopt her, or something like that?
I do not really remember. The thing is... I went to see it with my mom and my dad.
And you passed out.
All three of us fell asleep.
I feel like I remember you telling me this.
Yeah, and all of us were like, well... and, like, all of us tried to help each other with some pieces that we missed.
That's funny.
Because it...
You'll have to rewatch together on Christmas or something.
I don't... None of us want to, man. Was on
it
Christmas,
boring? Is that why you fell asleep?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, in my opinion, it is better than Last Jedi, but I don't know, man. It just was not good. Like you just said, to watch during Christmas. This Christmas, we watched Mandalorian. Last Christmas, we watched Mandalorian. We watched the full season during Christmas.
All right, let's talk about Chaos Walking.
Chaos Walking. I kept on saying that I really didn't think it was going to be good because of all the chaos, pun intended, just like the shit that went on behind the scenes.
You're saying like with the funding and the not funding?
Yeah, the reshoots and all that.
Didn't they reshoot like half the movie?
They had to because they kept on reshooting until the point where they didn't look the same anymore. They aged enough that they didn't look the same as different parts of the movie. So they just kept on reshooting. So in my opinion, it was going to be awful. I haven't seen it.
I was going to say, there's still the chance. Yeah. There's still the chance.
But as far as like critics and stuff, they're saying that the article was like, the surefire dumpster fire of Chaos Walking is actually like not bad at all. So like everyone thought it was going to do bad. Everyone did. And people are like, actually, it's not so bad.
I feel like, depending on the story, and depending on the, maybe the dialogue, I feel like there's certain aspects to a movie that, like, if it draws you in, then it's not going to be bad. I don't know how to word it.
I mean, no, I hear what you're saying. Like, there are movies with awful... Like you know what? Divergent is a good one for me. In my opinion, Divergent
like
is,
you don't,
like, I'm acted sorry. Bad.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Is like, you don't need really actors. You don't need high quality or special effects. You don't need an insanely high budget to make a good movie.
Yeah. You don't need to hit every check mark.
Exactly. But that just helps stimulate the audience. Sure. When you've got 10 out of 10 checked, you know?
Yeah, like, from what it looks like, it does have good CGI. It looks like it has a decent enough of a premise with the whole guys can hear each other's thoughts, and this girl shows up, and they're like, oh, that's about it. As far as I know, I didn't look up much more.
Well, it was weird, because it was like, guys don't just hear each other's thoughts, though. Male's thoughts are projected into their immediate environment. I think that's a good way to word it. So anyone around you can hear your thoughts because your thoughts are being projected.
Yeah. If it's you're not male. That guys can read minds, that your thoughts are projected. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
So when she first meets him, like we saw in the trailer, if any of you have watched it, like, you know, she kind of freaks out because she could hear his thoughts.
But no one can hear hers.
And he's like blatantly thinking like, is this a girl?
She's offended. Like,
but I'm excited. I want to see it.
Don't gender. Like, don't gender type me.
Yeah, don't assume my gender.
Yeah. All right. Okay, I thought you'd think this would be kind of interesting. The other day, director Andrea Romano from the original Batman Beyond show is urging fans to tell Warner Brothers if they want Batman Beyond to come back, because they aren't saying yes to them, like, as far as the director, because they're saying, and quote, we'd like to make it. So,
I mean, if you have the money, why do you need Warner Bros. Approval?
Well, it's just that simple. Like, Warner Bros. Owns Batman.
And do they?
Yeah. Yeah, Warner Bros. Owns DC. So.
Oh, so the director wants the rights to start.
The director wants the go-ahead from Warner Bros. And Warner Bros. Right. Isn't saying yes to her, so she thinks if enough fans go out and say, hey, we want it, then...
Well, Warner Bros. Has to know it's going to make money.
And that's the point, is to let Warner Bros. Know that fans are out there and they want it back.
Are they, though? That's what I'm thinking.
This is the closest that she can do, is voice her opinion and say...
It's a 20-year-old cartoon.
It is, right? It was 2000 or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know if bringing it back's a good idea. Those 2-3 seasons that it had might have just been like it's run, you know?
But would you like to see it come back?
I mean, that's what I'm saying, is like, not really. I mean, I'm not a huge Batman fan, but...
True. Like... I mean, it's true. Like, I mean, I would only watch it because the nostalgia, not because I want to watch it.
That's what I'm saying, is like, I feel like some people might just want to watch, like, another season of it because they had such strong nostalgia with the show.
I mean,
I thought it was a cool show, but I feel like it's just like any other cartoon, especially superhero cartoon, where it's like...
I don't know if there was a main plot. Was there?
Well, that's the thing, is like every episode is something different.
Just... Him being mentored by old Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, with like some new gadget and some new thug. Like
learning a new lesson about patience.
That's exactly what that show was for, is to teach kids like moral lessons.
Yeah.
About becoming an adult, really.
Yeah, it's the student and the mentor and...
The young bull and the wise fucking cricket or whatever, you know? That's interesting. I mean, I'll keep my ears open for it. It's just strange because the Batman Beyond live-action movie is in the making.
Isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about this. We watched the trailer with Robert Pattinson.
Oh, it's not. No, but see, I don't think it's Beyond.
It is.
No, it's Bruce Wayne.
It's not Batman Beyond.
His name's not Terry.
Is it not Batman Beyond?
No, it's just called The Batman.
No way.
Yeah, I don't...
I thought he was starring in Batman Beyond.
No, I think we said he'd like make an... I think when he was first announced as Batman, we said he'd be a much better Terry than...
Is that what we said?
I think so, because
we watched...
I still agree with that. I think he'd make an amazing Terry.
We watched the trailer with the podcast we did with Sean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, with the brutal beatdown.
Yo, that's so funny. I think it debuted as a movie, the cartoon.
No way.
My cousin had this on VHS.
What?
I remember that box.
So, like, is like,
dude, that's the shittiest cartoon ever.
Because I remember the I remember the first episode.
They copped out so hard on that suit.
They were like, we have to make it look futuristic, somewhat edgy.
I very vaguely remember the first episode.
I remember the first episode so fucking well. He's in a club, and it's a bunch of dancing and strobe flashing of different colors. I don't remember why he ends up in front of Bruce Wayne's mansion, but he does. I think he gets chased by the dogs or something. I don't know.
And Bruce comes out and saves him, right?
Something like that. And he gets, he tells them to wait somewhere, and then he goes up to the clock, and he finds the cat, the cave, and then he just steals the suit.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he just takes it and starts flying around like, woo! And then Bruce Wayne starts talking in his ear, and some bad shit happens, and he talks him through it.
I remember
this. I remember it very well.
Now that I'm looking at these pictures, though, this guy would make dope PlayStation controller designs.
Oh, yeah.
If they could make films for Batman Beyond, dude, or even just Batman in general. Why is there no Batman controllers? I gotta go to work tomorrow and say something.
I'm not gonna lie. I think I would like a revival of it, just so there could be a chance of, a game for it. Chances for... Dude, I'm looking at Robert Pattinson. Terry... Was it Terry...
I don't even know. Let's see.
It's not Terry Crews.
I was gonna say that.
I'm kind of mad I don't remember, because it's it sounds like such a staple name. Terry.
Literally, his name is Batman. Will Freddy plays Batman, and then Kevin Conroy plays Batman Bruce Wayne.
Oh my god. So, that's not how
it works. Oh, it was right there. I don't know why it came up right there, but Terry. It was the first. Dude, it was so weird. Terry's name came up there, but why? Why does that happen? But okay.
Terry McGinnis.
Yeah. That sounds like Irish or some shit, but he's got black hair. He's got black hair and black eyes. Look, dude, I remember that. I remember him looking like that.
Look at those brown shoulders. Leather,
right?
My God.
Dude, that's what I mean. They copped out so hard on this cartoon.
All right.
Oh, there he is.
This is a quick one. Tim Burton is directing a live-action Addams Family TV show spinoff. That's a mouthful. About Wednesday.
Really?
It's going to be an 8-episode live-action, and it's just been approved by Netflix. So Tim Burton will be doing that.
And it's going to be live action.
Live action Wednesday.
How? Why?
I mean,
so weird.
Wednesday's had, they've been two Addams Family movies.
But a show?
Yeah.
Now?
The Adventures of Wendy. I mean, the Addams Family cartoon movie came out 2 years ago, which it was pretty, it's unfair to say it was bad. Kids movies hit a little differently once you go past a certain age. But
that's why I feel like they're really riding this nostalgia train lately.
Forever.
It's just getting so much more prevalent that's happening.
Half of the list is just remakes, man. The next thing, we found out who's playing Joel in the Last of Us HBO show.
Okay.
It is going to be Pedro Pascal, the guy who plays the Mandalorian.
Really? I don't know if his face is... A Joel face.
I have to try to picture him with a beard.
I feel like the guy that played Nathan Drake in the short would make a better Joel. What's that guy's name?
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah. I feel like he would look more like a Joel type. Yeah. I feel like Joel and Nathan Drake should be brothers or cousins.
I mean, are they voiced? No.
They should be cousins.
Are they voiced by the same people?
And Joel should be
Not at all, sorry.
Yeah, I don't even know. Joel should be Nathan's cousin in the far future when...
I mean, it is in the same universe.
It is, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Naughty Dog.
Yeah, because the whole... In Uncharted 3, there's a magazine about the virus.
Yeah, I see. You were telling me about this.
And in Last of Us 2, when you're going around as Ellie, when you're in... I forgot which city. I want to say Detroit. Yeah, when you're in Detroit, you go into a bank, you open up a safety deposit box, and you find the ring with Sig Parvus Magna.
Ooh, I got mine in the closet over here.
So, like, you imagine he put it away before it all happened.
Yeah, dude, that's dope. That's cool.
Imagine Last of Us Part 3 is just, like, a 70-year-old Nate and, like, a 30-year-old, like, his daughter.
So, who's playing him?
Pedro Pascal from The Mandalorian.
He's going to be Joel.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Like, I don't have...
I think as long as the... like the vibe, the ambiance, the environment, you know, the whole, if the feel of the movie is the right way, then I'm not going to be concentrated on the fact that the guy doesn't look just like
sure.
him.
Sure. I mean, like, all right, Ellie's being
it's
played
like those
by
checks
a girl
we were
from
talking
Game
about.
Of Thrones.
Those checks we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to check every check off.
Yeah.
Do you know who's playing Ellie?
I don't know her name, but she's from Game of Thrones. She's a very young brunette. Very, very, like, child face. Like, she looks very young.
I think I know who you're talking about. I'll look up a quick picture real quick, but
she has like a very baby face.
What is like the ETA on this?
I don't think there is one yet. They haven't started filming, so if I'm gonna guess, probably around spring 2022.
This girl is not from Game of Thrones, is she?
That's what they said she was from, so it's probably like she probably wasn't in the main cast. She was probably in a few seasons.
The fuck yeah, she was like a fucking
yeah.
She's like a ruler. I'm pretty sure
she's has fucking like, 8 years old.
Yeah, like. She has like her own kingdom. Now I kind of like, remember her.
Man, I what a show, man.
Okay,
all right.
She's 17 now, apparently.
I'm gonna get through the rest of the movie/game stuff. So I'm super pumped about this. Anyone listening, the odds that you have heard of either of these things are pretty low, in my opinion. But I know you've heard of them. G4's Attack of the Show and X-Play are coming back.
Yo, that's so funny because who was it? Was she a porn star? Or was she just... I think there is a porn star. A famous porn star that used to be on Attack of the Show. Yes.
Olivia Munn? I mean, she's had nude scenes in movies, but... Oh, you know what? If you're talking about the blonde girl, maybe.
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know her name,
I don't even remember
but...
how it came up, but I learned this a long time ago. And...
Shit got hard once that...
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Yeah.
Kevin Pereira and Olivia Munn were Attack of the Show hosts. And X-Play... was Adam West and Morgan Webb. I can't believe I remember all their names.
Attack of the Show was like the most Japanese, like, live action show. I don't even want to say live action, but it wasn't anime.
Yeah,
it was like anime IRL.
Yeah, it was like, okay, imagine a Jimmy Fallon-esque show, like a late night show. But
in Japan.
Yeah, it focuses on Japanese culture, video games, movies. Like, I remember a segment. I don't know why this sticks. It probably sticks
almost
out
like
in my
Max
head.
And Lou show.
Honestly, yeah. Oh, you know what? I'm lying. This is X-Play. There's a segment from X-Play that, like, I think about.
Which one was X-Play? Because I remember these
X-Play
on
is
on
the
Fuel
one
TV.
Which, yeah, G4. But yeah, Fuel.
Is, yeah, you're right. You're right.
X-Play is like, you know, trailers for upcoming games, gameplay, talking with the developers.
Okay.
Oh,
so it's all, they were almost like X-Games, but it was X-Play
for
video games.
Yeah, and it was just all video game stuff, which was perfect because it kept me updated.
Dude.
Without
imagine,
having to look around.
Like, yeah, we got guys that we follow on YouTube.
Yeah,
now,
but that's
like
the thing,
shows
you have
on
to.
YouTube.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
IGN like, is the only thing I can do to,
yeah, imagine
keep
just
up.
Sitting down, like... two or three times a week, you know, at night, and you flip on, like, just imagine a whole channel, a whole broadcast dedicated to video games.
I think that cable is what fucked up, not the show, you know what I mean? Like, cable was not a spot for the age group. Like, I watched it, but how many kids knew about the show, that or the channel, even?
Mm-hmm.
People would be there more often. I think if they make an X-Play... like aspect, like a show on Hulu or something.
Yeah, like Netflix.
Yeah, I promise it'll be kicking, because there are more gamers than ever. It doesn't stop.
Look at what's going on right now. Like, the video games are undoubtedly taking over the world. Like, they are just everywhere. They're not going anywhere. They're just getting more popular, and they're just advancing even more. So it's like,
I'm happy that the stigma for it's finally dropping.
Yeah, well, this is why, like I said, you know, we need a new word for it. You say the word game to somebody who's 50 years old and they think that you want to fuck off and do nothing with yourself. And it's like, no, I'm having experiences that when you were my age, only your wildest dreams could think of, basically.
True.
How about you? How would you like to go spend 500 plus hours roaming around England and Norway as a fucking Viking raiding and killing people and, you know, customizing yourself and, like, you know, just... That's just one example.
I brought it up too, that, like, my dad doesn't play games, you know, like, he'll play Age of Empires as, like a mind, like, number, you know, just to, like finish at night, maybe once a week, twice a week, but he doesn't play anything else. I showed him a trailer.
He missed the train. He missed the wagon.
I mean, he played Tekken for a time. He played Gran Turismo for a little while, but he doesn't game, you know?
Yeah.
I showed him a trailer for Red Dead 2, and it wasn't like a gameplay trailer. I mean, it was really cool. It was like saying all the different aspects. Like, there's this where you take care of camp, and it showed you little things like that. Then it was like guns and like, you can polish your gun and do, it's like, you have to shave and stuff like that. And like, the hunting, everything was so intuitive and real and grounded. And my dad's like, I'm not going to lie, if I'd play this game if I didn't have to like do a story. And I'm like, Dad, you can do that. You can just buy the game and fucking walk in the woods.
Well, that's what I did with, I guess we can kind of segue to Valhalla, even though I just mentioned it, but like, I got to a point in the game where, yeah, it's skill-based per area, but that does not mean at all that you can't go explore and collect treasure in those areas. You just don't want to fight anybody in those areas.
A little more stealthy.
But, like, all it took was maybe like 4 or 5 hours worth of gameplay. Realistically, I could have explored all of Norway if I wanted to, but I was like, I want to get the fuck to England. So I got over to England. And like I said, after about 4 or 5 hours of gameplay, realistically, you're at the point then where you could just go wherever and do whatever. You do not have to follow the story. You could probably, just by like raiding, killing, maybe some side quests, like you could probably still get significantly far and gain significant experience in the game. Wink, wink. If you...
Avoid the story.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how most of these games are coming out anymore, though.
Cyberpunk is a lot like that. Because I am not really focusing on something. I am somewhere, and I'll look at my map and be like, what's nearby? And there's so many weird different things. And I have never played a game where, like, every 5 steps is, like, gorgeous. There's no point, no place that you're standing where they're like, let's just... make it a little boring, you know, let's, you know, like a long road or a field. Like, that's the big thing with like all these open world games is that it feels big, but think about how much of it is just like a forest with nothing in it at all.
Empty dead space. Yeah. That's what people complain about with the Ubisoft games. True. Is that, I think they did a good job with this game. I've put enough time into this game now and enough time into Odyssey and Origins that I can really gather it sucks because it's still so upsetting, that game. Valhalla still lacks so much that you would think, like, why did they do this? But what I'm just trying to say is that Odyssey was very plain and not choppy, but I guess, like, texture and detail-wise, it was choppy. Like, they copped out. They just made a giant game that was, like, pretty... but, like, plain and basic.
Sure. And it was then, very safe.
I guess so. That's a good way to word it. And then when you look at, especially comparison videos, like with Origins, they put much more life and detail into the game. When you're walking around the cities in Origins, it feels more alive. If you go stand by the water in Origins, you'll see debris floating in the water, but that's not even possible in Odyssey. So, like... But then Origins had that strange, super heavy, super grindy expectations of you to play. Like, you were so heavy and you would take so much damage. So, like, I don't know. They were both very polar opposite games, you know? And then Valhalla came in, and what it seemed like to me is, like, Valhalla is almost like a polished Odyssey. They took, like, what seemed like to be more or less the best of both games and put them together, and that's why, like, it's still upsetting to me, because I feel like they could have just... If I show you... I can show you later. Like, the game is so fucking beautiful. And, like, there's so much good about it, but tell me why there's no button to draw your weapon and to sheath your weapon. That has got to be the stupidest shit. So anytime you want to take out your sword or your axe, it's like, I can't just draw it out and then put it back in.
It's not like the directional pad doesn't do that.
Nope. There's things, that's what I'm saying, is there's things to complain about. The game is so beautiful, and it seems like they took the great stuff that they've been working on and polished it, but they were not, like, thinking about how immersive you could be. When you walk, every time you're, like, running and then you stop, the guy goes, and does, like a very
as if he was, like, running at full speed and stopped in his tracks. Yeah,
like,
even
if I'm, like, jogging, he'll go, like, he does that. He goes, and, like, flies back for a second, and it's like... I don't know. Like, if you work with it, you walk slowly, you know.
Yeah, the whole thing is a game that comes out now, especially a AAA, $70 $60 for PS4, right?
I feel like Ubisoft is a shitty company.
It's the problem. People say that they don't have, like, love for their games, really.
Like, I feel like they're a company that is just trying to get shit out the door as fast as possible. Well,
you also...
And it sucks because look at the potential they have.
Yeah. I want to be clear when I say, like, they don't care about their games. I'm not saying the creators of the game. I'm saying Ubisoft themselves, because they're in control of saying, like, hey, sorry, I know you want to do more, but we are going to make this game come out this time. So you need to be done with it now. Like, Call of Duty, they don't...
So you're saying, like, it's the CEOs putting pressure on the developers?
100%. Any AAA game has a deadline, and if they don't, like...
That makes sense.
Cyberpunk was getting fucked over, I'm pretty sure. It was by Xbox.
It's like my boss putting pressure on me, saying, you know, these have to be out the door by next week.
Yeah, and if it doesn't look gorgeous, they'll be like, well, what the fuck? It's like, well, then give me more time, dick.
Okay.
So,
and this is another thing that I've gathered from these games. There is more than likely at least two different teams working at once. And that's why you have that game, and then somehow that game.
Yeah.
Because there may even have been three teams working at once.
Yeah, I think Valhalla was made by Ubisoft Montreal.
Yeah, you're right, because when I was following up hard on this game for so long... And they used a lot of Canadian actors and shit for it, I think.
All right.
I'm almost positive. There was something about a Canadian actor that, like, was, like, something leaked that... Yes. There was a video about a guy talking about... He wasn't a Canadian actor. He was a Norse actor visiting Canada, talking about how he was going there for, like, some work project or something, and that was, like, a big leak that they were like, it's gonna be Vikings, it's gonna happen.
He's Norse.
So. But no, I still think it's a pretty game. You saw Valhalla, it's beautiful. They make very visually appealing games, but when you think too much about them, and you play so much of them, if you want to really critique them, it's really like anything else. It's gonna have ups and downs, so.
Sure.
You gotta pick and choose, you know, you gotta take that sacrifice for the good that you get out of it. I mean, that game, Odyssey, I put 180 hours into that game, and I still want to play more, even though I will openly admit, I fucking hate it now. It's stupid. It's like, I don't know what the fuck they were doing. You're, like, invincible. The camera's, like, this far fucking away from you. You're, like, fucking, like, jumping when you run, dude. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It is what it is, and that's what you got to take in. Sure. You got to take it for that and move on with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they all are their own entity. They all feel similar. It's not going to get any
better. They're not going to release texture patches and shit like that for a game this big, you know?
Well, that's actually, well, if you get it on PS5, all of these PS5 upgrades.
That's a good point. Now you've got me interested. I've actually heard that playing Valhalla and even Tsushima on the PlayStation 5 is like very, very noticeably different.
Well, yeah, like you have to think, even just 4K, even just the 4K difference, seeing 60 frames, higher quality, but you need a PS4 Pro, not just a 4K TV. So, but
I don't know. That output and that input, you know?
So annoying. It really is. Like, I don't go on my TV, because, you know, I have a 4K TV. I don't go on my TV Netflix to watch shit, you know, or TV YouTube. I go on my PlayStation. So quality gets brought down, actually, because I'm running it through my PlayStation.
Oh, shit. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, PlayStation can't run it.
That's what I started to do, was just use my PlayStation for more stuff. Because, yeah, I've got all the apps on my TV. It's a smart TV.
Yeah.
What I used to do was, if I didn't want to hear this thing running like a motherfucker, which, surprisingly, it's gotten quieter. I don't know how or why, because it's fucking dusty in here, dude. If you saw how quick the dust accumulates in here, I really got to open that bad boy up soon. But
be careful. I still don't want to.
I feel like I saw a picture of somebody opening up theirs recently, and it was bad.
Yeah.
But while we're on the topic of games, I want to bring up this game, because I was kind of enjoying it, and then it, like, froze and told me it needed to update, and it was literally taking forever.
Is it Let It Die?
Yeah, have you played that at all?
It sounds extremely familiar.
It's a very hack and slash type game. Maybe it's roguelike. I forget if it actually is or not. Free? Yeah, that was the thing. I got the whole game for free, and I don't know how or why or really what it is, but you basically, this city is a tower, and you're supposed to climb the tower, and, like, you know, you get gear and shit as you go. Like, I feel like every room is a new boss, or, like, you know, a new enemy.
Is it a roguelike?
That's what I'm saying. I think it is. I only played it for, like, I don't really even remember what happened. I played it for, like, 20 minutes, and then, like I said, something happened where it was saying it had to update or finish installing or something, and, like, I really don't remember what happened. I just remember sitting here, waiting, watching it for, like, hours, because I had other shit that I could do, and it didn't even move. Nothing moved, so I was like, fuck, the game seemed cool. I was kind of enjoying it.
It seems interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, I would like for you to see a trailer at some point, but, like, it starts with, like, this Grim Reaper dude, and he's, like, your uncle or something like that, but not really. I don't know. He's, like, on a skateboard and shit, too. It's, like, a Grim Reaper on a skateboard, and he's, like, walking you through the game the whole time. Yeah, see, she's wearing that mask on her face. I don't know what that's about, but my guy had, like, the same thing on. Wherever she is, I didn't make it this far yet.
That's so Japanese.
But
so, it seems, okay, a lot of it feels, what's it called? The Surge. I don't know if you've heard of that.
No.
It's like a slightly technologically apocalyptic Dark Souls type game.
Okay.
But I don't know, as far as the floors and all that is what I'm curious if it's like.
Yeah, this game seemed hack and slashy to me. Very, very, choppy and hack and slashy.
I will definitely check it out.
I want to find, like, the fucking description for it. How do I just go to, like,
you have to go to the store. Yeah, you have to go to the store. It's very annoying.
That is fucking annoying.
Let
me look it up on my phone and just see what it says on interwebs.
Yeah, as far as category and everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just looking at games on the store, and I saw that that was free, and it's like an entire game.
For
and
like, a 40-gig game.
Like, look at the graphics. It didn't seem terrible. Let It Die is a free-to-play action role-playing game developed by Grasshopper Manufacture and published by Gung Ho Online Entertainment. The game was released for PS4 in December 2016 and in Japan in 2017. Genres: hack and slash, fighting game, shooter game, survival game. So I feel like it is roguelike, because if you die, I'm almost positive you have to go back down to the bottom of the tower. But don't quote me on that, because I don't know that for a fact. But if it's a survival game, I can only assume that if you die, you have to go back somewhere.
Huh.
Maybe like a milestone or something.
I'm definitely going to check it out. Seems okay. If it's free, especially.
Might yeah, as well. That's what I'm saying. Like, it seemed, from the generation we come from, we can appreciate a game like this.
Sure.
Any kid that's like 10 or 15 years old is going to be like, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to download a free game that's got like low quality graphics.
Oh my God. Remember Growtopia?
Yeah, I turned you on to that.
Dude, we played that for a day?
I played it for like 2 hours, and then you went like 24 hours deep on it and like platinumed it or tried to.
No, yeah, I impossible platinum without throwing $1,000 into the game. But I went so goddamn hard. I dare anyone right now to just look up a game called Growtopia. It's the ugliest game you'll ever see. And all you do is plant something, and a tree will sprout, and you can destroy it and get, okay, grass seed, and it'll produce a grass tree.
I'm gonna use the bathroom. Okay. Explain how it works.
It's pretty much like a basic crafting type game where you plant a seed, it'll say, let's say, a grass seed will turn into a grass tree in 15 seconds. So after 15 seconds, you break down the tree, now you have three grass blocks. And you pretty much merge blocks with other blocks to make new seeds, things like that, and you craft new items, and you just keep on mixing seeds with items to make new items. That's all you do, you just keep doing it. And when me and Louie played it for a little while...
Mention how it's 2D.
Oh, it's disgusting looking. It looks worse than Mario, which that's actually a mean thing to say, because Mario looks...
I feel like it's gorgeous. Like Terraria on, like, LSD.
Yeah, it's very, very badly pixelated. Like, the art style looks like a 7-year-old was like, yeah, that's what a person looks like. It's they look gross, they almost look scary, but it's clearly him trying his best. But yeah, I threw so much time
into that. The characters
are,
like, square, almost.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good, yeah.
They're, like, just compressed.
Yeah, they're just little blocks. And I put a lot of time into it, and I told myself I was going to make a wizard
And it was
robe.
A free game.
Yeah, that was the whole point, is that it was free, and like
and think about how much entertainment you got out of that.
Yeah.
How do those people even benefit from doing that?
Free games?
Yeah.
You can buy, like, fake currency. The whole thing was that you can buy keys.
Oh, so yeah, it's just like on your fucking cell phone.
Yeah.
Free to play games, but pay to play.
Yeah.
It's free to play, but pay to play.
To make locked areas, remember, so like someone could come into your world and not destroy your stuff.
You kept locking people in the box. I remember that.
And I would keep on like going into people just starting and before making a lock, and I would just be like, "Sorry, dude, someone did it to me. It's your turn." And you just take the shit that they're working on, and they come at you and start attacking you. And I'm like, "You can't hurt me. Like, that's not how this game works. You can't fight in this. I took your blocks and I'm dipping." It was rude. I felt awful, but hey, I got my wizard robe eventually. Really quickly, before we branch off of video games, we're actually going to talk about video games for a little bit longer, because today is actually a very special day. It's the 21st anniversary of PlayStation.
The PlayStation 2? To this date? It's PlayStation 2.
I think you're right.
I saw a picture on Reddit and I saved it.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you a screenshot right now. You're completely right.
Because I remember this specifically because I think I was sitting in my chair at work today. Or maybe it was yesterday then, because the screenshot's not here. Or maybe it was even my car. It said that PlayStation 2 was... Why is it not fucking here?
Highest selling console?
To date.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I want to say...
It still holds the record.
I want to say 225 million, something like that.
It was definitely something like that. I'm going to find the screenshot right now for sure.
I'm not surprised for a few reasons. One, it was actually... And I have the same argument with PS3. Kind of. PS2 was the cheapest, most affordable, and also multi-purpose DVD player that you could get at the time. Like, you would have to buy a DVD player for upwards of, like, $300, $400, yeah, or buy a PS4 for a little less than that.
PS2,
sorry. And now PS3 was the same.
What was the PS2? Like, $150, $200?
New, probably $300. After a year, probably $250 or so. I could be wrong. It could have been $400. But...
We got some shit to look up. But this is really fucking
But
weird.
I know... I think PS3 was $400.
It's a carpet based off of Ariel.
That's disgusting, weird. Actually. It looks like mold.
I would feel like a giant walking on that.
I lost my train of thought. So PS3 is the same argument to me that PS3 sold very well.
I didn't see it.
It's because it had a Blu-ray. It was the cheapest Blu-ray you could possibly get.
Well, see, the thing is, it's hard to justify and make sense out of it when you say the cheapest, but it only makes sense because you're getting a DVD player, a video game player, and something that does multiple other things besides
music,
those two.
Music player, internet.
So really, how much are you paying for just the Blu-ray player?
Yeah.
A fraction.
Yeah.
So it is like a really good deal.
And plus it had, I remember there were so many complaints about Blu-ray players messing up. And like, they had to be updated because Blu-ray kept changing. And PS3 just kept updating. Because it could do that.
The PlayStation 2 launched at $300.
Yeah, see, that's a great example. Because I bet at the time, a DVD player, like a cheap DVD player, was probably $200.
PS2. What would I type in to find out how many were sold?
How many PlayStation...
PS2 amount sold. Yeah. That's like the first thing that came up. Oh, it's like right there too. No, that's not how much. Whoa!
Worldwide.
I accidentally put in how much is a PS2 worth in 2020. The PS2 as of today sells for $35.
There's a lot of them, man. That's the problem. There's so many. Like a Nintendo 64 is a lot of money right now.
Is it?
Probably. Well, a lot, but like $100. But you got to think about the fact that a Wii is about $25 right now.
Damn, I'm surprised they didn't make more of the Wiis.
It was a one trick pony, you know.
158 million units
for the PlayStation 2.
In the 20 years since its release, the PS2 has become the best selling video game console of all time. As of September 2020, it had sold almost 158 million units.
Can you look up the Wii? Because the Wii has to be the second most, unless it's Game Boy or something.
Amount of Wiis sold. First initial release in 2006, the Wii video game console developed by Nintendo. As of September 2020, same milestone, the Wii had sold 101.64 million units. How do you sell a fraction of a unit? 1.64 million units. They sold
0.64 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, so that's 6,400,000.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Yeah. So PlayStation.
That's a huge difference.
PlayStation was about 50 million in Europe, and this is about 33 million in Europe.
You want to hear a quick little tidbit, which is actually insane, and I'm going to have to look it up, so I'm not going to say it wrong. Because I did a little research the other day. I was very curious. How many people do you think live in New York City? New York City.
I've looked this up before. I think it's like 100 million in Manhattan.
That's a very good guess.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, what did you say?
I think it was like 100 mil in just Manhattan.
I know this is very wrong. It's saying 8 million, and I know that's very, very wrong.
No, it might be right, because I feel like I was thinking about 10. I was thinking 10 million first, but then I wanted to say 100 million. So maybe it is 8 million.
No.
I think it was 7 million at one point.
19.4. No, it's New York State. Okay, 8.5 is probably correct.
I feel like when I looked this up years ago, it was probably more like 6 or 7 million.
And it's continued to rise until 2018. Surprising. All them people moving to the country.
Is there a projection?
Kinda.
Any projections about what it'll be?
Oh, no. It stopped 2019, so we don't even have 2020
Once
stats.
Once COVID hit,
they don't want you to know.
They can't keep track now with COVID because they're like, well, everyone's leaving, but people's still here, and people are still having babies, but everyone's leaving.
All right. So I think that's good for video games.
It's not.
No? Got something else?
We have to talk about it real quick.
Okay.
The Outriders.
All right.
Because we watched a trailer for it.
Yeah, so it's a new... Okay, we didn't look too much into it, but we know that it's a game, from what we can process, if anyone knows the game Destiny, it seems kind of similar, where it's a multiplayer online game where you can, like, shoot aliens with friends, but you also... They have, like, a matchmaking 3v3... It might be more than that, but I kept on hearing it. I heard a 3v3 in that video. It seems decent enough. It comes out very soon, right? It comes out March, which is this month.
I think it's April.
April.
I'm going to look it up right now because I did look up the release date the other day. I think it's like the very beginning of April. It's by Geffen Records. Oh, that's an album. That is not the video game.
Oh, man. I wish I also remembered the game which I found.
It is up to 3 players.
3?
It says 1 to 3.
Oh.
Outriders is a third person, 1 to 3 player, drop in, drop out, co-op shooter, video game by People Can Fly and Square Enix. It is brand new sci-fi project that will be released in summer 2020. But that's not... True, because it's going to come out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it seems good enough to try. We didn't look too much into it, but, you know, just to find a game to get into.
I'm so fucking confused here.
But I do want to mention Riders Republic.
Yeah, it's April 1st. That's what I thought.
Okay, so that, less than a month from now.
Yeah, dude, Riders Republic. But Outriders, real quick... Is it not by the same people that made Fortnite?
It is. Okay. It seems to be Fortnite's next dip into multiplayer.
I'm hoping that it's very worth it because Fortnite has made a lot of money and their developers are working around the clock for, like, I gotta be honest, they do pretty good work. The game is an insanely appealing to me, but I've played enough Fortnite that, like, I know it's a very deep game and their developers are working hard on it. So, like, and with
it's one of the biggest games out right now.
Yeah, and with their microtransactions and their new seasons that keep coming out every couple months, it's something that they're taking over with, and they've made so much money off of this game so far. So I just hope they're doing good shit with that money to make an even doper new game.
The quality seems nice. It's probably the same engine, but it's a little less cartoony, a little bit more, a little darker.
Yeah.
I don't know. Overall, I think it's something I'm going to at least attempt. It seems good.
Yeah, enough. We should get it, and then we should each play a couple hours to get the hang of it, and then we'll get online together and see what the fuck happens. Maybe we can get a third.
Yeah, then we'll give you guys a review.
That's really why I wanted to bring it up, was so that way, like, people are aware of it. The game's going to be coming out in a couple weeks. So when you guys hear this, you know, look it up, be expecting it. But next month, be expecting probably like at least half or a whole podcast of us dedicated to talking about it.
Yeah. I also want to just real quick mention Because you mentioned this game, and it made me think of a different game, which I thought you brought up.
Well, I want to play that game, too, and I think we could play that game online together, too.
Sure, absolutely. And it is out already. So the other game I was thinking about is called Riders Republic. It came out February 25th of this year, so it just came out. And if anyone's played Steep...
But this game is, like, an open world, like... free-for-all, it seems.
Yeah, okay, so this is an extreme sports game where you can ride a bike, you can ski, you can snowboard. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
I think you can base jump.
Yeah, there's base jumping with wingsuit. I know
that. Did you say BMX already?
Yes. I don't know if that's probably it, right?
I think it was like...
Yeah, all right, like... it's showing a bike. It's showing a... I don't know what this would be. It looks like a bike. It's weird that there's two bikes for the picture. They're skiing and...
Yeah, I think they're making...
And there's snowmobiling.
I think they're making, like, the bikes, like, the big premise of it.
Yeah.
Even though there's...
And the sports. Snowboard is, like, it's so cool.
It's like an extreme sport game is what it is.
Yeah, and I've never seen it be this way where, like, the mountain is kind of snowy, but also melted. So there's people on bikes riding past people snowboarding.
Yeah.
And people gliding past them.
It seems like it's just one big world that they made for, like, this is why I'm really starting to like video games, is like the immersion and the experiences that you could get that you can't just like, I feel like what they did was they took like the mountains from Colorado and, like, the fucking beach from California and, like, you know, the city from New York. Like, they just merged all of this shit together where, like, it's going to be one big map of, like you said, like, people snowboarding over there and put, like, guys busting tricks on them BMXs and skateboards over there. And you can just go from one point to another. You know, you can be playing with your friends. I don't know if there's really any point to it. They might make something like... mini games or obstacles.
Well, yeah, they did. They did, a few of the different modes that I saw. One is obviously simply point-based. One is racing. One of them that I found really cool is a team-based, it's not capture the flag, but it's like, let's say you're in a park with a bunch of rails and ramps and all this. There will be different areas that are glowing, and your team has to, like, grind this rail, and then it will turn your team's color. So you're trying to make the most of this park your color.
Oh, dude, that's like in Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
When you used to have to do tricks on things and it would change it to your color.
That is exactly what it is. So they added that. Obviously, I think I said racing. Then they promoted this whole X Games thing where they're going to have like monthly events of like tournaments online.
Yes, dude. See, it's so... there's so much about it that I don't agree with, but I do agree with it. It's so cool.
It's smart, you know? Like, okay, you can have a snowboarding game. Okay. You can have a biking game. All right. Why are you not mixing a lot of cool aspects together? It feels like a Just Cause but sports, where it's like, all right, I'm a little bored of this. Let me do this now. It has a lot going for it. So I'm excited for that as well, and I think we should try that.
I like that comparison to Just Cause, except this is like, it's just like a more like realistic aspect to it.
Yeah, and man, I tried Just Cause 4, lasted maybe an hour.
Well, how many videos have you watched of the Riders Republic? How much gameplay have you seen?
Two.
Well, I'm curious if you can bail, and if you can walk.
I don't know about walking, but I saw the bailing, and there was also a mode about like ragdolling. So, and it has nice ragdoll
physics. I'm curious if like, you know, you go bust like a bar spin and like, you know, you don't land straight, so it makes you just fall off your bike or something, you know, or if you're like doing a backflip on a snowboard and you don't complete the flip and then you hit it and you wipe out or something.
Yeah, no, there were sick ass bails.
Cool.
Like your body goes straight ragdoll. All right, my laptop's at
6%. Do we need it for anything?
We need it for one thing. For a definition. Are we ready?
We're going into the unit of language.
words we use and the power they can hold. Join us in Unit of Language.
So the word.
You want to give it to him?
I'm going to give it to you.
XX, give it to him.
EXP. Experience.
Get in the game.
So yeah, our word today is going to be experience, which digs a lot of different ways, actually.
I dropped my phone.
I mean, we could even stick with video games if we wanted. Experience has a big influence, especially. Like, it's a word that I feel like people didn't use too much before video games, if I'm to be honest. But,
I feel like that's what... And it could just be, like, a stigma thing. But I think that's where, like, most people's minds go when you say experience. But I feel like that can't be true. It's definitely like a generational stigma type thing where like if you're over 40 years old, that's probably not where your mind automatically goes when you hear experience.
Sure, you're thinking work experience or, you know.
Because I think like when I hear, because I've gotten so into experiencing life, there's a part of me that thinks of the experience when I hear that word, but no doubt. When I hear experience, like, I'm thinking EXP.
Yeah, I see like, the three letters.
And I'm thinking, like, experience points.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of is points. So like, like leveling up. That's literally what I think about when I think of experience is, like, gaining levels.
I mean,
gaining skill.
Like, what would you use to define it? Because, like, I don't have, like, a clear definition. Words. Yeah, I have two words to put together to define it, which I guess would be knowledge and not wisdom, because it's kind of the same thing, but like, because experience, like, I'm trying to find
like
another word.
It's knowledge and skill, because it's the knowledge end of it is having the information, but the skill end of it is the doing.
The experiencing, the doing.
Yeah, the physical.
Yeah.
The knowledge is like the mental, and then the... What were the two words you just said?
Wisdom and knowledge.
No, it wasn't wisdom.
Skill.
Oh, yeah, I said skill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like the knowledge is like the mental part of it, and the skill is like the physical part of it.
No,
part of what? Experience.
Yeah, so overall, what does it say for the definition?
It's strange. Nothing about video games.
I mean, there are also multiple definitions.
Practical contact with an observation of facts or events.
An experience.
Yeah, I feel
as
like
a noun.
I feel like they're trying to play it very safe with that definition. Yeah.
So that's like.
Oh yes, you're absolutely right. That's the noun definition.
Okay, that makes sense. That's like I had an experience.
Or he had already learned his lesson by painful experience.
Oh, okay.
That's the.
Can I have it used in a word, please? Language of origin.
So, the verb would be to encounter or undergo.
All right, that's yeah. Okay.
It's literally almost like the same thing as the top one.
But it makes sense because experience doesn't mean you're learning.
They're like using it as like a time or place in the verb, because it's like. The company is experiencing difficulties. He had already learned his lesson by painful experience. I feel like they're more or less using it in the same context.
Well, yeah, one though is a thing. The other one is describing something.
But what are you describing? The thing.
I mean, sure, but the thing is like, what was it about the office?
The company is experiencing difficulties.
Is experiencing. I mean, yeah.
That's literally like saying the same thing that
experience.
He had already learned his lesson by painful experience.
Yeah.
Like, that is literally like those go hand in hand together. The company is experiencing difficulties, so he had learned his lesson by the painful experience.
I mean, they're the same definition by heart.
There's more.
It's just the fact that one of them is standalone.
Okay. It gets deeper when you open it up. The noun, practical contact with an observation of facts or events. The knowledge or skill, wow.
Hey.
The knowledge or skill acquired by experience over a period of time.
It's knowledge and skill, guys.
Yeah.
Not dumbasses. Or.
Dumb Oxfords. especially that gained in a particular profession by someone at work.
Yeah, I was gonna say work experience is like such an must be the main use for it is work experience.
An event or occurrence that leaves an impression on someone.
Yeah, that was okay. Me saying I had an experience. That's like, you know, sure.
And then the verb is strange. It says experience, third person present, experiences, past tense, experienced, past principle, experienced, gerund?
I don't know.
G-U-R-U-N-D? Gerund? Gerund or present participle? Oh, they're participles.
Okay, we're deep.
Yeah, right? Fuck. All I'm going to say is that it started with... The origin is Latin from experiri.
Okay, meaning?
Meaning try. So when you...
Okay.
That's so weird. But I feel like that try is not the try that we know.
No, I mean, it and plus, that's an origin of a word. That it's obviously grown. It has its own definition now.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's what sense. I mean. It's like, their...
To experience, yeah, it's like, go experience this. It's like, go just go do it. Just, like, that's just what it was used for.
Yeah, it's weird because I've actually been studying, like, not studying deep, but learning a little bit about language lately. Specifically, like, runes and, like, Norse writing and language and stuff like that. And it's very interesting how, like, one symbol can mean, and I guess this is writing and not necessarily speaking, but, like, when you listen to this one guy and he talks about how and why they would say a word... And with the dialect that they would say it, and then the context of what it would be based around, it's this guy, in the one video I was listening to, he made so much fucking sense because he basically goes on about how language is a generational thing that changes every generation, and that would be why the dialect, the context, the overall meaning
culture
around the word would change.
Yeah.
Exactly. Do we speak like our parents do?
No.
Do they speak like their parents do? Do they speak like their parents do? How far off and weird do we sound compared to how our grandparents would or do have conversations? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The overall meaning of... Tell me, when somebody says the word lit to you...
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean that they just...
Someone's
ignited something?
Yeah, my mom's like, it's like, that's lit. No, it's like, no, mom, don't say that.
Like, to say a candle is lit and to say my boy Max is lit are two very different things. Max doesn't have a flame on him, you know? So it's weird. That's what that's what I was just trying to explain as to why the expiry deriving from a word like try.
Yeah.
That their try is the try from 1800 is not the try that we use today. If I look deeper into it, I could find out more meaning behind what that would mean to them. But you get what I'm saying?
I recently actually looked up 1920 slang terms.
Ooh.
And heard some weird ones. One of my favorites is, come on, snake, let's rattle. What do you think that means if you said that to someone?
Come on, snake, let's rattle? I don't fucking know. Like, let's dance or something?
That's what I thought it would be, right?
Not,
that sounds good.
It's not sexual, is it?
No. It means that you are about to, or you are trying to get in a fight with someone.
Come on, snake, let's rattle. That's like saying, that is like saying, like, let's tango.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, in a way, because you'd say that to fight, sure.
I'm like picturing some dude looking down at his pants, like, with like a girl like freshening up in the bathroom, and he's like, come on, snake, let's fucking rattle, you know?
But no, it's actually like, come on, snake, let's rattle, like this.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm picturing.
I know that
some sailor like has his fucking arms rolled up with Popeye big ass forearms.
There was a I think it's lady crazy, which means that you're like crazy into women. There's khaki wacky, which means that you're crazy into guys. Like, just completely off the walls ones. ones that I can't even.
Whoa, I like fathom. This definition. I don't know where it came from.
From what? For what? Experience?
It's on Wikipedia, I guess. Experience is the process through which conscious organisms perceive the world around them. Experiencing can be accompanied by active awareness on the part of the person having the experience, although they need not be. That's so funny how they're just saying, like, not. You could just be sitting there and, like, not be thinking, and you're still experiencing.
Sure.
But it can be accompanied by awareness. Sure. Whether you want to be or not.
The amount of experience that you're getting, so that depends on your awareness. Sure.
I guess you're right, because think about it. If you go through something for an hour, we'll just use an hour as that time frame, and you're not thinking, you're not, you know, being consciously aware.
Sure.
Then you're coming out of that experience with much less, debatably, I guess, if you were to be more conscious and aware in that experience.
I mean, sure.
You still had the experience, but your level of awareness is going to dictate what you bring out of that with you.
It's almost the whole, like, a fresh pair of eyes type idea. It's like, if one person, let's just say, a simple example would be, like, someone's, like, looking at a puzzle for an hour, and they can't figure it out. But someone who's, like, not paying attention to it decides to focus on it, there we go. They get it. It's like a new, fresh pair of eyes. Or it's simple as that. If you're, like, looking at a puzzle and you can't figure it out, and it seems weird to say a puzzle. Like, I'm thinking of so many different examples regarding, like, games or patterns. Then you walk away pissed. You come back and you do it in, like, 30 seconds. It's because it's, like, the awareness.
Well, I feel like I can almost transfer that over to, like, doing your job. You know, doing a job.
Oh, yeah,
it gets
absolutely.
To a point where things become subconscious for you, so then you're just experiencing the experience, and you might not realize that if you put your awareness on what you're doing, you might actually be able to make more positive changes, i.e., sure. like, figuring out where the puzzle piece goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. That happens to me on the table a lot. I get, like, the highway hypnosis, where I'm just doing the pattern, and then sometimes I get so deep into it where I'm like, oh shit, like, how am I counting? How do I know what all these cards are if I'm thinking about, like, Marvel movies right now while counting? But, what would you consider an experience in your life?
Hiking on the Appalachian.
Yeah, so I was, yeah, man, I wish you didn't say it. I was like, because that not only one, that was an experience. We experienced a lot of new things.
Now, that was a nice experience. Debatably, some hardships.
Sure.
But this is the thing. And
net positive, though.
We usually get deep and philosophical in the unit of language for good reason. You know, this is where we kind of, like, connect with other people. You know, the people listening.
That's what language is. It's about connecting.
Hell yeah. So what I want to say is that, you know, that was... And again, like, a really cool view that I've learned that, like, Old Norse used to have. Because, again, oh, I wanted to bring this up about Valhalla on the podcast. It's so important because the time period that Valhalla takes place in is during the time of what they call the sagas.
Like, in most history?
The Viking sagas.
Okay.
So it's specifically, like, Viking stories and tall tales and stuff.
Got it.
The thing is, the Norse people did not, or the Scandinavian people, they did not have a system of writing. They only had runes, and the runes had meaning. And this is where it gets crazy, because Old Norse is paganism, where they believe in gods of nature, different deities. Polytheism is what it is.
Okay.
When Christianity came into the mix was when writing became a thing. They didn't have an alphabet or a writing system until the Christians came over. And that's why, like, I forget what I wanted to say about Valhalla relating to it. But, like, what most people don't really know is that a lot of what we know as Viking and Norse history is Christianized. Viking history, you know, the sagas and all the stuff that we think we know about the Vikings wasn't written by them. It was written by, like, so like Leif Erikson, for example. Leif Erikson was not a Viking. He was most definitely an Icelandic Norseman, but at the point when Scandinavians occupied Iceland, they were already mostly converting into Christians at that point. So they weren't pillaging and going a Viking anymore. So like there's so much misconception, but I've been learning a lot about it, and it all ties into this unit of language shit. But what I wanted to bring up was that in very ancient Norse, I don't know if I want to say religion, but in belief and practice, from what I've learned at least, is that, and this all comes back to me about to explain a negative experience I had. Well, I don't even want to say it was negative, but a not as enjoyable experience as the Appalachian Trail. What the Old Norse believed was that there was no such thing as good or evil. There was no such thing as positive or negative. It was what it was. It is what it is. You know what I mean? There's no good and evil is a subjective thing that we attach to things, that we, you know, project onto experiences, people, events, actions, things, you know? If I, like, I could say, this is the best fucking pencil in the world, dude. And then someone else could be like, dude, it's just a fucking 20-cent lead pencil. You know what I mean? There's nothing special about it.
It's all in the eye of the beholder. Like, it's,
but regardless, this is what it is. And what it is something that can do this.
The only thing is that, you know, if something only becomes good or bad once you compare it to something else.
Exactly. Perception, realistically. So what I really just, I had to explain all that, but what I just wanted to say was that, you know, and again, in comparison, the Appalachian Trail had hardships, but overall it was a very enlightening experience and a light enlightening experience. When I had to drive down to Florida from Pennsylvania by myself, and it took 3 days because I couldn't stay awake, and I was going through life changes where I thought I had to go live back home with my parents and start another new job and start my life over again, to only 2 weeks later say, I don't want the job, I don't want to be here, I'm driving back to Pennsylvania. That was, and again, I don't want to label it, so I'm just going to say that was an experience in its own. So I won't pick the Appalachian Trail, I'll pick that one, I guess.
All right.
Was it an experience that you can think of? Like, so I guess I would say not positive or negative, but just significant.
Honestly, yeah, because, like, it has positives and negatives, and, like, it's not one thing, which is a little unfair, but it's, like, Polish camp. There's been a few of them, but they all have the same exact vibe. A lot of them had the same people in it.
How many times did you do that?
Ones that I can remember, All right. 1, 2, 3, 4.
And your parents would just send you to Poland for the summer, right?
Yeah, and some summers I would do 2.
Dude, I remember now. This is so weird.
I was never there during the summer.
You're going to freak out right now. Because I remember this, and you told me this long time ago.
The only thing I can think of, if what you're going to say, is when I was at... Which camp was that? That one didn't have a title to it. It didn't. I was by the Baltic Sea. I can say that. I would play as LeChef 33 in an internet cafe with you guys playing RuneScape.
Shit. No, I don't remember that.
And I was in Poland playing RuneScape with you guys. I would pay like 35... not as well, 35 grosh for every 10 minutes.
See, that's where our world has come to. Kids go to summer camp and they're like...
I went for the internet cafe.
Yeah, like they're spending the money their parents gave them to survival and video games to play with their friends and not be immersed in life. But anyway, what I wanted to say was, I remember you telling me a story about how you like broke your back.
Same place,
on a trampoline at Polish camp.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, but I was like, that's a weird one to bring up. But like, that's actually one of the things.
It just clicked in my head. Yeah. Was that like, you told me this forever ago.
Yeah, it was like these trampolines that were like nets, so it had a lot more spring to it.
Bounced on a net instead of like a tarp?
It looks like a net. Yeah, like, are the ones, because they're not made out of like what our trampoline is. I forgot what that's called, like trampolines here. But it's like very, very tight net. It looks like Chex Mix, like, but very big.
What the?
I'm assuming it's the same type of trampoline they use for like gymnastics and stuff, because all of the trampolines were very, very narrow, like let's say like 5 feet across and like 20 feet long.
Oh yeah, so probably that sounds like an Olympic trampoline. Yeah,
and it was very, very bouncy, and you know, I was used to flipping like back home, so I was doing stuff and I was stupid and I went really high and I was like, ooh, let's bounce on my knees, and from like from the largest height I landed on my knees,
20 feet in the air.
Yeah, and my back went the other way.
Oh, God.
And I heard some cracks, and then the wind got knocked out of me from that happening, and then people were looking at me, and I joked and tried to make it look like I was, like, in awful pain as a joke, and I'm like, this looks bad, and I'm like, it is bad.
Were you okay? Did you actually have to go to, like...
I didn't go to a hospital.
The infirmary.
They had to get this type of cream to repair my back. I laid on a bed on my stomach.
Was it like icy hot cream?
I don't know, some type of ointment, but I was apparently my back was all bruised and they didn't know what was wrong, so I laid on my stomach for like 2 days while they just came in and rubbed my back with shit. And I was pretty fine. After 2 days, like, it hurt a little, and I still have back problems, but like, that's nothing crazy. Like, I didn't break anything.
You didn't get like x-rayed after that?
Do you think they could afford that shit? Yeah, dude, those camps were not great, man.
Well, I would think that maybe when you got back to the States that your parents would use their insurance to get you looked at.
I'm not even sure I told them.
Probably
honestly.
Not.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, because as a kid, I was very oblivious to it, but the quote, like, we call them teachers, but in America, it's, like, translated to supervisors of the camp.
Like a counselor.
Counselors, yeah. They were always so drunk.
I was just gonna say, they're probably like 18 year old kids, if not younger.
No, because it was anyone from 7 to 18 could be there. So they were probably 25 to 30, maybe some were older, but for the most part they were young.
If they were
looking.
Getting boozed, they probably had.
And like, you know how you always have a perception when you're younger, older, like young people still look old.
Well, that's what I mean, is that like these counselors probably, you probably thought they were adults and they were just fucking stupid kids.
But I have pictures. So 25 to 30 sounds right. But yeah, I got lost in Greece when I was like 12. I don't know what would have happened if like that night would have went a little differently.
I got lost in the supermarket once and I freaked the fuck out.
I got lost in Greece. Not knowing the language, and all of the other people I know don't even know the language.
I'm sure you could throw out some Polish and they'd...
English. English would be my better chance.
I don't know if I actually heard this in a podcast, and I think I probably did. And I very much believe it. I think it's true. Most countries in Europe hate each other. And they don't want, like, it had to do with the fact that, like, something about how, like, they were using Greece as an example. And they were saying how Greek people didn't want to move somewhere where it was better to live. That's what it was, I think, because the economy is so shitty in Greece, but better, like, 4 hours away in another country. But they don't want to go be a... you know, citizen of the UK, they're Greek, they want to be citizens
of
Greece.
You're proud, yeah.
Exactly. Because Europe is such a small place, but there's so many,
it's true. Like
purebreds there.
People think Europe is way bigger than it is just because of how many countries there are, and they don't realize that most European countries are smaller than most states.
And poor, too. Yeah. Is it a country? Yeah. No, it's not.
Continent.
That's just, like, torn into shambles, and they're constantly borrowing money from the other countries around them.
It does depend on the countries, but you're not wrong. I mean, then again, most of the fucking world is broke right now.
I don't know if it was Greece or another country, but one of my bosses was explaining this to me a while ago, how I feel like maybe it was Greece, but it might have been another country around there. They became extremely poor and basically collapsed. Society collapsed there. And, like, the country was just, I guess, nothing. And they had no choice but to reach out to another company like Germany. And Germany, I think, if I'm correct, is the richest country in Europe and one of the richest countries in the world. Germany is very ahead of its time. Operation Paperclip was when the U.S. government defeated the Nazis, or thought they defeated the Nazis, and pulled all of these Russian-German scientists from, you know, Soviet over to here. But Germany's got some smart fucking people. You know, they've got their shit together. So I think Germany let this other country borrow money to jumpstart their economy. And then it only took a few years before they blew through that money and then just fucking became poor again. And I think Germany gave them more money. But it's like, it's the world over
it's
there.
It's like giving a $20 bill to your kid, like, now don't waste it. And they just shove it into a vending machine.
Exactly. Really. But, so, if you guys out there want to share experiences with us, you know, feel free to email us, shoot us some emails or DM us.
Yeah, just honestly, it seems like it's easier for everyone to do the DMs. We're getting more DMs than emails. Go for the DMs.
It's the common place in today's world.
So on Instagram, you can look us up at Max and Lou Show, right?
I think
Max and Lou Show.
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to look it up right now to confirm.
Because it's been a hot minute since we've really had to do much.
We'll be more active, too. We'll be around more. But if you guys want to share an experience with us, then just, wow. Shoot us a DM.
If you have any questions you want us to talk about, any topics, any words, go ahead. Give us a word.
Yeah, it's Max N. Lou Show. Like Max.
The letter N.
Lou Show. All one word together. So DM us there. Hit us up. I just want to say something about, like, if you feel like you don't have any genuine experiences or any significant experiences, think harder. And if you wind up just thinking about experiences that you'd like to have, then don't be scared. We've brought up fear and anxiety a lot on this show. Go put yourself out there. Put together a list of the steps you think you might need to take to go have those experiences. But I think it's important for everybody to reflect on your experiences, because your experiences undoubtedly create you. And that's why it's important to reflect on them, because that's the thing, is that every experience, whether you put a lot of meaning into it or not, is a defining experience. Yeah. So you may not think you have any interesting experiences or defining experiences, but think about it and you might actually surprise yourself.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of times where you're going to do something and maybe for the next year, you might not think about that moment too much, but then 5 years down the line, you're like, man, that like time, whether it was one night or a hobby that you picked up, a new friend you made, new anything. And it builds a new chapter that you don't know is a thing until the future comes, you know? Like,
well, it's almost like if you're writing your autobiography.
Yeah,
good. You know, when you're 40 or 50 years old, you're going to have to include the part where, you know, this happened when you were 20 years old. You might not have to, but that's the thing, is like, you know, you could bump into somebody in the grocery store, add them on social media, and then, you know, nothing comes of it. And then 5 years after that, you start a business and you can use that person that you met and you hit them up. And then 10 years from then, your life is what it is. Yeah. And you might think that, you know.
Dude, chain of events, that's all it is. Exactly. Like, if we, let me try to break this down in a way. If we never, let's say, started skateboarding, maybe the music we started listening to, we wouldn't have became friends with CJ. If I would have never became friends with CJ, I would have never moved into the first place I moved into, which means I never would have met the person who I had a kid with. My entire life would be completely different if I didn't listen to Screamo when I was in middle school. Who knows? Like, things, you don't know what events are what events, what's going to make what. So go out, make some new experiences.
Well, even if you do that, and that's what a lot of people don't do, is what you just did. You know, you broke it down. And most people would just say, this is who I am.
Yeah.
This is what's happening.
They're like, okay, so I listened to screamo music when I was in middle school. That's not an experience. It's like, sure it is. You had an entire phase that you learned new things, found out things that maybe you did or didn't like. Maybe you were like, I love it. And then you went to a mosh pit, got decked in the face, and you're like, I'm going to take painting up instead.
Whether you like it or not, you, and it's like you said, the comparing of things, your subjective experience is in no way at all identical to anyone else's. It's what may seem very similar when you stack up two people next to each other visibly, you know, on a piece of paper, attribute wise, whatever. But what I'm just trying to say is that
we are our experiences.
Yes. And what we're going through existing as a human being is more or less an constant experience of emotional flux.
Oh yeah, you're so judging things differently every day.
Well, that's why what I'm trying to say here is that, and I just had it too on the tip of my tongue, your
good and bad experiences.
Yeah, it was coming to that. Oh, there's scientific evidence that you people can all go look up that links memory to emotion. That was what I was trying to spit out.
Oh, for sure.
So you may not think that the fact that you listen to screamo has any significance, but the fact that you remember that you listen to screamo means that you have an emotional connection to that memory. You have defining experience in that memory. That's anything you can remember.
That's why the memories that are the hardest to get rid of are memories of when you were in pain. You remember events of getting hurt pretty damn vividly. I remember the thumb for me, well, the crossbow.
It's trauma, yeah. Is what it is.
It's emotional, it hits something in your head.
Emotional scarring. Yeah.
It's like, hey, it's almost like your brain's like, hey, don't let that happen again.
But here's the thing though, because look at it like this. Emotional scarring. It's a fucking scar that makes you who you are.
Yeah.
So you might think that, you know, if you get slashed with a sword or you get shot with a bullet, it's gonna leave a mark. It's gonna leave a scar.
Yeah, but that guess what? Leave. That's there forever.
Yeah, and it might not look pretty. And exactly, you might have a hard time getting rid of that scar, especially if it's a physical scar that you really can't get rid of.
Yeah.
But guess what? Because that happened, because that scar is there, because you have that memory, but you're still here because you survived it.
Yeah.
That scar that's with you all the time makes you that much stronger than if you didn't have that scar.
Da-da-da-da-da, don't kill me. Don't kill us, makes us stronger.
So, even though you might not want to take those rough, traumatic, painful scars and emotions and memories with the good ones, I'll end on that note. And it's as simple as saying, you would never know the good without the bad.
Yin and yang. Everything's got to be balanced, guys. If everything's happy, then you don't know what sad is, which means you won't know what happy is anymore.
Dude,
I want to give
a shout out to Richie right now. Because last time I saw Richie at the house when he came over, dude, he turned me on to this amazing song. And it's really just a folky song talking about if the sun's always shining, when the hard times come, you're going to fucking crumble like nothing. Because all you know is goodness. If the sun's shining every day, the first fucking little gray cloud you see in the sky will give you a heart attack.
Yeah.
But Richie Dare, he the man. Tough motherfucker. Cool dude. Gets after it. He just started his own podcast. That's why I want to shout him out right now. Because I saw him on Instagram posting about his new podcast that he started. And I think it's a podcast geared towards just talking about UFC, fighting, stuff like that, you know?
All
right. And it's actually called Rooster Radio. So Look up Rooster Radio. I'm sure you can find him on Spotify. I know he's on YouTube.
Should have made our name something catchy.
Right? Max and Lou Show.
That's the how generic were we? We were like, well, there's a Max and there's a Lou and it's a show.
Right? We could have been like Super Gaming Bros or something.
I think the problem was that, honestly, even now, we're still not 100% sure what it is.
Or what we're even doing.
Yeah. Like, whenever someone asks me, they're like, oh, what's your podcast about? I'm like, I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Entertainment, current events.
Yeah, I usually say like movie, game, current news. Like it just things but that we want to talk about.
I do really like the video games and I do really like the unit of language. So like those are two solid parts of the show that I like. I like that.
It's a structure where we talk about things that we have opinions on.
I feel like we could have like 3 or 4 different podcasts because we could go for 2 hours about video games. We could go for 2 hours about the latest movies and TV shows. We could go for 2 hours about whatever fucking word we draw. Just went an hour on the word that we drew.
I mean, that's true. This is quite a long one, and I hope you guys enjoyed it because it's been a while.
We've run up to 2 hours before. Yeah. If you find that it's too boring or too long and you can clip it well enough, then clip out what you can of us sitting here for 10 minutes going through the films, you know?
I plan on doing that already, just a little bit. But yeah, guys.
Be good. I hope you guys are happy and relieved that we're not dead. You know, we are just on a hiatus. It's been a rough winter, but we're back. We're not back in black, but we're getting there. So, well, be easy, and
good luck in 2021.
Yeah.
It's the first time we've spoken this year.
Godspeed.
Of course.
And may
the odds ever be in your favor.